Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's your final hour here, WEEI Football Sunday. Christian Arkan, Teddy J, Chris Scheim here as well. We'll take you all the way up until 1 o'clock. Ted's got to leave, but we got him for about another half hour or so. We will have the top Ted list coming your way as Scheim and I fire off some questions pertaining to both this game and various other things over the course of the week here in the NFL, which we'll get to a little bit in this segment as well. But let's go ahead and reset on Drake May, who had, as you just heard from Dan Orlovsky there, and I think we all agree, his best game as a professional last week in Miami against the Dolphins. And while the Dolphins don't really seem to be a very good team, I don't take that lightly at all. I think that is a very, very hard place for the Patriots to play. That's a team that has their number, and they went down there and they held on and they won the game. They scored a lot of points. It was really everything I could have asked for. So that worked out great. I'm not saying they played a perfect game, all right? But you don't have to play a perfect game to get a win.
When's the last time they've come back from twice in the second half? Like, this team showed resiliency, which they have not shown in a long time. That to me should say something too, and to bolster your argument.
I remember Mac Jones had a game-winning drive against Buffalo. You remember that in 2022? Were you at that game?
At that game, funny enough, because I was the biggest anti-Mac Jones guy there was, and he shoved it in my face that day. They beat Josh Allen and the Bills at Gillette.
On a game-winning drive, for Mac Jones. Those words don't even seem like
it
they make
hilarious.
Sense. Mac Jones, who we'll see today with the 49ers after a nice week last week. But we're not here to talk about Mac Jones. We're talking about Drake May and Chris Scheim. I know you've been doing a victory dance all morning. I know you were very excited about that play in particular that we you there, that throw to Ramondre Stevenson. This is the Drake May you were expecting, right?
Yeah, like this is similar to what I was hoping for, right? And I think you can unlock even more with him going forward. I think there's even more big play opportunity in your future. That's the kind of quarterback he is. He wants to be on the move. He wants to attack down the field. He doesn't want to play this stupid dink and dunk offense. It's just not, he is not a surgeon. He is a demolition man. He comes in and destroys the building. He doesn't save the patient. Like, that's just his, he's an action hero. That's what Drake May is supposed to be. He's not Tom Brady. He's not even what Mac Jones was. They're such different players, such
Thank
different
God.
Kinds of quarterbacks. Yeah. And I have all the belief in the world that this is what you're going to start seeing more from Drake May in the future, especially when you get bad defenses. Like, you need to exploit that. And that's what Drake May can do. And that's another opportunity for him to show you he can be consistent this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Are you guys surprised that he was under center as much? Because you think of, you know, a lot of times you go, you want to get a guy in a system that he's familiar with and comfortable with. And in UNC, he never was under center.
No.
Right? But he looked good under center. Well, and that's not what he typically does. And so it's kind of, there's a little bit of a, okay, you want to give him stuff he's comfortable with, but also you'd like to get him under center because how effective the boot is off of it.
100%.
So as long as you can get him more comfortable under center, that to me is where they should be going.
Well, you look at the best offenses in football, like the McVay offenses, whether it's Sean McVay or there's the Shanahan offenses with Kyle Shanahan. You look at Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
Yeah.
How much he had Sam Darnold under center last year was one of the large reasons why they had so much success. And he was basically able to resuscitate Sam Darnold's entire career.
Yep.
Like, he threw 38 touchdown passes last year, I believe the number was. Like, that offense was really good. And it's because of the way in which they did the offense. They made it simpler. They made it more effective. And it helps to have guys like Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson.
I was going to say, you got to get to them eventually.
But at the same time, right? I just look at it as, okay, if this is the kind of Drake May we get before he gets someone like Justin Jefferson to throw the football to, imagine then what you can do when you eventually add a player like that onto the roster.
Yeah, which they, I mean, you know, in the case of Steph Diggs, they added somebody. They did bring in Diggs, and he hasn't been a massive disappointment, I wouldn't say. No. I don't think he's had, like, a big breakout game
Leads
or anything.
The team in catches.
But he does lead the team in catches. He's been consistent. Kayshon Boutte had that great first game and then didn't really do anything last week.
Except the touchdown.
Pop Douglas has been, that's true, he had that one catch. But Pop Douglas has been kind of a nothing so far this year except for his one touchdown. And really, it doesn't seem like the wide receiver room is coming along or really progressing at a rate that is equal to that of what Drake May appears to be doing. And that, I think, could be a problem.
And I think a lot of that, too, is just the way in which they're utilizing the receiver room, right? Like Ted pointed out earlier, you don't really have a deep threat. Well, I guess it's Kayshon Boutte, so he has to do it.
Right.
He's the best one at it, even though he's not that great at it. And Stephon Diggs, instead of doing what he originally did with when in his time with Minnesota or even the beginning of his time with the Bills, he is now your move the chains guy, right? He's the guy, third and five, got to have it. Stephon Diggs is going to get a 6-yard catch and move the chains. And that's kind of what he is in his career now. He's a reliable hands guy, and that's kind of all you can expect.
And
from
a young quarterback needs a guy like
100%
that.
100% agree.
You know,
yeah,
Hunter
that's
Henry
exactly
can do
right.
that, but you need a receiver that can do that. You can't survive without one.
And Diggs is going to, when you see more man coverage against Drake May, if a team is courageous enough to do that and allow him to run, dude, you're going to see Stephon Diggs be better as well, because that's your man beater. That's your guy that's going to get open.
Just so you know, the Steelers, they love man-to-man. I love it. And so, okay.
Could be a big Stephon Diggs week then.
It could be huge, and it could also be
a good
day for quarterback runs, because if they've got their backs to the quarterback, then most teams have played the Patriots in zone and blitzed him in the first 2 weeks. The Steelers love man-to-man. That's interesting to see. I am curious. I need more information before I make a declaration on DeMario Douglas. But so far, I'm disappointed in his output. Was it the fact he only played 25% of the snaps last week, a game plan thing, and they did more 12 personnel? Or is it a DeMario Douglas thing? I still need more games to kind of square that away. But so far, DeMario Douglas, who all I heard about was going to be a focal point of this offense time and time again in training camp, is it feels like he's almost being phased out.
Does sort of look that way. You know, it does. And if you see less of him this week, I don't think there'd be any way to deny it at this point. And we forget also that Mike Vrabel, I mean, on the offense, he was a little bit more hands-off. But on the defense, he really flushed out a bunch of the old guard. And I could see that happening here with this offense, too, because it's not exactly like you got this great offense. You know, you can't take apart this offense. And he did it with a defense that was pretty good last year.
Yeah, I just think I don't know that it's necessarily him trying to flush out the old guard. To me, it's more scheme-based. It feels more scheme-based in that you brought up the increase in 12 personnel. I think that's like a national, like a league thing. Is it's just, I mean, you see the Ravens and the Bills running a ton of 12 personnel. Like, I just think that's the common thing. And when you have only two receivers on the field, Pop Douglas just doesn't make the cut, right? Because you want Mac Hollins out there to run block.
True.
He's a bigger, better run blocker.
Yeah.
You want Kayshon Boutte out there, and you want Stephon Diggs out there. Like, those are the three receivers that are going to get the most action on the field, specifically because of the schematics.
It's just that, look, they have two, you know, above average tight ends. I get the 12 personnel, but you're going to need, there are going to be games and there are going to be situations where you're going to need three receivers on the field.
Yeah, and when that happens, I think you'll see more pop, but you haven't had to do that. And if you can keep a game close, you're not going to have to do that, right? You're going to run a lot of, we talked about earlier, the beauty of that Shanahan McVay stuff is you're going to run the ball a lot, and then you want to make your play actions look like they're run. So you're going to keep the same personnel on the field.
Keep the game close. I like that.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones here. Ralph is in Cranston with a thought on Drake May. Ralph, every time you call, I think of the Honeymooners. Ralph and Cranston, I think of Ralph Cranston. I always think every single time you call.
I'm a fitness fanatic, love the show. Anywho, you know, you guys mentioned Diggs. He seemed a little frustrated at times last year, and that's his personality, so I hope they click him and they. You know, the second year tells it all. Now, three guys other than him, we're looking at Mac, we're looking at Bledsoe, we're looking at Plunkett. Same type of situation they came into the second year said it. Now, Mac Jones was not. But I got to tell you something. Mac Jones, to me, that one phase of that game, I mean, his accuracy, if May can be as accurate as Mac, I think he really is the guy. But, guys, what's kind of, like, you know, turning me off is that sometimes he throws such a bad ball at a guy who's pretty open And you know, that wasn't something that I've seen great quarterbacks do. Now, if he is the guy, it's got to start now. He's got to hit those open men. You know, he's got a powerful arm. I don't know. Maybe it's just my opinion. I don't think he's all that accurate. And you have to be that. You have, sometimes you've got to put that ball on the fingertips of a receiver. And I haven't seen that yet. Like I said, Mac to me was just, I mean, just his only phase, but he was extremely accurate.
He was accurate, Ralph. Thanks for the call.
He's really accurate in that Germany game throwing to the Indianapolis linebacker.
I can't believe Ralph.
He threw it right to that linebacker.
Yeah, he did. He did. Right in his hand. Yeah, it was a great throw.
It's good accuracy
He was, I'll say this though, Ralph, maybe not the best time to call him with that because last week he was very accurate. He was 19 for 23.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns and
the ball barely touched the ground.
First time maybe in his career here.
And one of those
didn't have a turnover.
And one of those incompletions was to an open Stephon Diggs, but it's because it was like a miscommunication. Drake expected him to kind of sit down in the zone, and Stephon Diggs kind of cut it inside. So he threw it low and away, which is exactly where you would want him to put the football because it puts it out of danger, and they just missed. Like, it was just
in the situation. It was a late game situation. He was terrified of throwing an interception.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, played into that bad throw.
Probably. But I think in week 10, that throw gets completed.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I would hope so. Before we go to break here, before we get to trending from Chris Scheim, let's just reset on the defense a little bit, as I think we're all feeling good about the offense and not so great about this defense, especially against a deep play potential team like Pittsburgh has here with a lot of weapons, guys who can go down the field, and Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, which whatever you think about him, he can still complete some passes. And that has been a real problem for the Patriots through the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we cannot see three consecutive 300-yard passers.
No.
We can't. You cannot allow that. I worry because I'm not. I haven't seen anything to show me that you're going to be able to stop Rodgers from being successful. It makes me nervous that you're going to have to put this all on the backs of your offense again, and I don't know. Do you think that there's even a chance that this looks better just by adding Christian Gonzalez when he is finally back? Like, because I think that's the bigger question, right? We know what this defense is without him. It's a bad secondary that's able to rush the passer a little bit. With Christian Gonzalez, are they actually better, or are we going to see more of the same?
They are better, but it's only marginal. I think it's only in a marginal thing. I don't think it's all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they're completely different. I don't think corners have that impact. I think edge rushers do.
Yeah.
If you look at
But there were some guys who had that impact. Like Darrell Revis had that impact,
But that was, you're going back to a time where teams played more man-to-man. Now, more teams, because of the high-flying offenses, they play more two safeties deep. Mm-hmm. So they play more zone than they ever played man. So it takes away, I think, a lot of the influence that shutdown corners can have. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it, because of all the zone being played in the NFL now more than it ever was.
Well,
before.
I guess unless you're like Richard Sherman, right? He was a phenomenal zone corner, right? And so, like, I think if Gonzalez can be Richard Sherman, great. Like, he's going to have a massive impact. But I think you're right. Yeah. I think he's more of a man corner anyways. And so it's going to be interesting to see how much of an impact he actually has when he does come back.
It will. And I've already mentioned it before. There's two players on that offense right now, DK Metcalf, Jonnu Smith, who played on different teams last year, and they both torched the Patriots. So the passing game against the Patriots defense secondary is going to be the biggest story, I think, that comes out of today's game.
617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. Chris Scheim's going to get you caught up on what's trending right now, and when we come back, it's time for the Top Ted List, which has become my favorite segment of this whole show, by the way. I love the Top Ted List. We're just going to fire questions at Ted until he gets mad and walks out, and that's coming up in just a moment. First, here's Chris Scheim to get you caught up on what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots kick off at Gillette at 1 o'clock this afternoon to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your inactives today for the Patriots are as follows. Christian Gonzalez, Efton Chisholm, Eric Gregory, Caden Wallace, Elijah Ponder, and Tommy DeVito, the third emergency quarterback. Some injury news around the league. Xavier Worthy of the Chiefs is out this week. Amika Egbuka of the Buccaneers and Andrew Thomas of the Giants are both expected to play, as well as Tucker Kraft of the Green Bay Packers is in fact, active after a knee injury at practice this week. Some thought may actually end up being season-ending. Nope, he's good. He will be active this weekend for your Packers as they take on the Browns. They are at the Cleveland Browns because in the 1 o'clock window. We got Packers at Browns, Colts at Titans, Bengals at Vikings, Rams at Eagles, Jets at Buccaneers, Raiders at Commanders, Falcons at Panthers, and Texans at Jaguars. In the 4 o'clock window, the Broncos at the Chargers, the Saints are at the Seahawks, Cowboys at the Bears, and the Cardinals are at the 49ers. And in Sunday Night Football, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs take on Russell Wilson and the New York Giants. Kickoff for that one is at 8:20. In non-football news, the Red Sox beat the Tampa Bay Rays 6-3 yesterday. Kyle Harrison got his first start for the Red Sox, going six innings, allowing one run on four hits and striking out five. Sox send Connolly early to the mound tonight as they try to get the sweep. First pitch, 7:35, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game for you, and make sure to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show at 6:35 with Joe Weil. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
EEI.com.
Football Sunday here, WEEI, Christian Arkin, Teddy Johnson, Chris Scheim, Mego had to go. We got Thomas back there behind the glass doing a fantastic job this week. Big shoes to fill with Ken Laird's loafers back there, but doing a fantastic job. Well done. And let's go ahead and get to it. And no one wants to wait another second for the top Ted list.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Top Ted list.
All right, for the top Ted list, Scheim and I just fire questions at Ted until he gets mad and leaves, and we'll go ahead and start with the first one for me here, Ted. Was that the real thing from Drake May last week, or was it a fluke game against a bad team?
That is the real deal, Holyfield. Me and Scheim are, I think, simpatico on this. I've been telling everybody that this guy's got special traits and he can be a special quarterback, and he finally had my back and played like it, and I don't think it's a one-off, Chris.
Love it. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Ted, Aaron Rodgers, one of the all-time great quarterbacks, where do you kind of rank him? And seeing as he only has one Super Bowl appearance, does have the win in the Super Bowl, but as many NFC championships as Rex Grossman, is it a disappointment?
Huge. Huge. Are you kidding me? Huge disappointment. Look, he's got special qualities. He might be the most talented quarterback, but there were guys, Rick George, didn't he have people thought he was special back in the day? Or Jeff George, sorry, Jeff George, I'm sorry, Rick.
Like, who's Rick George? Rick George.
Rick George. Rick George is the athletic director for Colorado. My bad. That's our Colorado athletic director. I got him mixed up. But Jeff George. So
Jeff George could sling it.
He's a huge, huge disappointment. I put him maybe like top 10. People, top 10. But I'd put Brady, Montana, Elway, Favre, Manning, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, Drew Brees, and then all.
Oh, you
the
put old Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers?
I would.
Interesting.
They have the same amount of the Super Bowl wins, do they not?
They do.
Some people would.
Rodgers got a few more MVPs, I'd say.
Some would put Johnny Unitas, Otto Graham, Roger Staubach in front. I think there's an argument to be made whether or not he's even a top 10. That's my opinion.
Aren't you and Rodgers from like the same area? Right. California. He's from Chico, isn't he? Isn't that where you're from?
I'm from San Diego.
Chico. San Diego,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Never
I'm
mind.
From,
sorry.
Carlsbad. Yep.
Okay, my bad. Anyway.
All good.
Cali guys turning on each other.
Yeah,
how about
right?
That? All right. Let's get to my second question, which is, are the Patriots the second best team in the AFC East? Will they be when the season's done?
Yes, sir. No doubt about it. I had them picked second in front of Miami and the Jets. The Jets, please. Justin Fields, come on. And just all the turmoil Miami had in the offseason.
They're going to be patient with him, I read today. Rap sheet had this morning that the Dolphins are not going to fire McDaniel. They're going to be patient with him this year, wow. Which I guess now they have to be.
Yeah, I guess so.
They like to have an option.
To me, the Patriots, far and away, based on what they did in the offseason, based on their schedule, are the second-best team in the AFC.
Well, speaking of being patient with a coach, if Mike Tomlin has a bad year this year, do you think he could get fired, seeing as they haven't won a playoff game since, I want to say, 2018? Maybe, might actually be 2016.
Is that right? Jeez.
You know what? I was trying to think, who does Mike Tomlin remind me of? It hit me when I go, you know what? He kind of reminds me of Sean Payton. Sean Payton was the Saints head coach from 2013 to 2021. He had a 161.97 winning percentage, a winning record, and his percentage was .610 winning percentage there and with the Saints. Tomlin has a .629 winning percentage. Wow. They both win a lot. But at the end of the day, what do they have to show for it? So I just think
10 years almost.
Tomlin's been there for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Over 20 years. Come on, man.
And hasn't done anything without Ben Roethlisberger.
I know. That's why I just say I think it's time to move on from Mike Tomlin.
All right. Staying with the Steelers here, Ted. They have poached a bunch of ex-Patriots, even in just the last couple of weeks. Jabril Peppers, Juwan Bentley, who did not get elevated from the practice squad, but I saw him with the team at Gillette today. Does it actually help when teams do that?
I don't think it does. I don't think, especially, no offense to those guys, it's those, the positions they play, the status they had on this team, now with the Steelers. I don't think they can influence game plans or give much intel. It's really going to make much of a difference.
Ted, which Steeler did you hate playing against the most?
Oh, there's a lot. Hines Ward, beast. Alan Faneca, beast.
Oh, that guy was
beast. I actually played against Dermonti Dawson early in his career. Beast. Sixth time, first team, all pro.
Wow.
Ben Roethlisberger, we had a record that was... It wasn't a real record, but we won 21 games in a row going into the 2004 season, Ben's rookie season, and we lost to those guys.
Yeah.
And he broke our 21-game win streak. We ended up getting them back there in the AFC Championship game. They were 15-1, Roethlisberger's rookie year. We were 14-2, had to go play them, beat them. But you know what? And I love playing against Jerome Bettis, but... I tell you what, I'm going to sit that there because there's a question coming up about Jerome. I'm just going to leave that.
Yeah.
But those were some.
That's my next question. Don't spoil it, Ted.
So go ahead, ask me the next question then.
All right, I'll interrupt it here with this one. Who is the greatest Pittsburgh Steeler of all time?
It's got to be Terry Bradshaw, doesn't it?
It could be whatever you want.
My feeling is it's Terry Bradshaw.
I thought Bradshaw was overrated.
But four Super Bowls?
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that, like, Montana gets praised left, right, and center for being 4-0 in Super Bowls, and Terry Bradshaw has four Super Bowls, and everybody just forgets about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm giving Terry some love. How's about that? That's the best Steeler all time.
All right, well, you mentioned Jerome Bettis. Ted, would you rather have to tackle Jerome Bettis or Derrick Henry?
It's not even close on this one. I love you, Jerome, love you, Bus, but the last thing I want to do is have to tackle Derrick Henry. I'm trying to think, like,
man should not move that fast.
Who does he remind me of? Maybe Okoye? Eddie George?
Okoye?
Yeah, but I didn't play against him. But that's a good call.
Oh, yeah, you guys
but
probably
good,
missed each other, yeah.
That's a good, I mean, Okoye was a little bit, maybe even bigger.
Did you play against Natron Means Business?
I did. Yeah. I liked playing. He was AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
He's a big dude.
He was, but... Jerome was a bigger target,
yeah,
which I had better results in. And where's my man Paulie in the truck? Where you at, buddy? You know this. Jerome Bettis.
Don't say his name. He'll appear like Candyman.
100 yards on our defenses ever. So if you can't get 100 yards on me, how can I call you the best, right?
All
so,
right, fair
very
enough.
Very good. All right, Ted, are the Patriots and the Steelers still rivals to you?
They are not. Nope. Because
that was one of the best rivalries the Patriots had, I thought, for a long time. Yeah,
it was them and the Colts. Those were our top two, and then I put the Broncos in there as a third. But you can't be a rival. Think about it. When we were playing them, they had a Hall of Fame coach. Mm. The Steelers did. They had a Hall of Fame quarterback. They had a Hall of Fame running back. They had a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. They have none of those now. So big difference.
Ted, why didn't the Patriots, we talked about this earlier, the Patriots need a legitimate, like, number one stud, maybe deep threat receiver. one of those guys was available this offseason in DK Metcalf. Why didn't the Patriots make a better jump for DK Metcalf?
I just don't think it fit kind of, and I don't blame him for that. I didn't think it fit the profile of the team, bad offensive line, young quarterback, bringing in DK Metcalf. I just feel like you got to have a good offensive line and a quarterback that shows you more before you can bring in a toy like that. And look at case in point. What has DK done for the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers, of all people? He has 7 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. So I just don't think it would have worked out here with the young quarterback and the offensive line.
It might not have, but like you can already tell no receiver wants to sign here. Like, we already know that, right? Yeah. You got Diggs to do it because he was coming off the injury, but none of the big guys wanted to sign here. And I think the only way you could get a guy like that is to trade for him. 100%. I wanted him to trade for Metcalf. I wanted him to trade for Cooper Kupp. I wanted
George Pickens?
Pickens, any of these guys. Just, can you get him in the building at least? And if they're not a good fit, then you cut it. You move on. You do what you got to do. But can we at least give Drake May something to work with here? Like, that's what I want.
You know what I would rather have? Give me somebody who can work the middle of the field, short, intermediate, than the deep guy, because the offensive line, DK Metcalf's a deep threat. I don't like that profile of receiver.
I would just push back on, I think DK Metcalf is a really good yak guy too. Like, I think you can hit him on a slant and he can take it to the house. Yeah. The Patriots don't have a guy like that. Not a single guy on the roster.
The Patriots are never going to give up draft capital and then pay a guy a lot of money.
That was just a third round pick though. It's like, it's a third round pick.
Yeah.
I think I would rather have, you know, DK Metcalf over Caden Wallace.
What was the money though? Money's
yeah, like $30 million.
Yeah, so
yeah, but whatever. They have plenty of money to spend.
$60 million in cap space.
Another thing with Metcalf and big receivers in general, they don't have long careers. You know, like I feel true. Like you see
Calvin Johnson.
Big guy Johnson, David Boston, who was all roided up and all that. But like, you know what I mean? Like, guys like that, they're great for a couple years and they're fun to watch and have great highlights. But then when it falls off for them, they fall off.
He's like 26.
I know.
It's like you give him the 3-4 year deal, maximize him until he hits 30, then he's going to fall off a cliff, and at that time you can move on.
All right, last question for me, Ted. There was no vote on the tush push this year. For NFL owners, I know you hate the tush push. How do you think this will be resolved next year? Will the tush push be a thing?
It's going away. They were just votes shy of it going away this year. It's going away next year. It's being talked about, and not in a good way, more this year. It just in 2 games than it's ever been. It is an inherently unfair play. When is the NFL gonna get over that? And the fact that they're cheating now on an unfair play by getting off the ball faster and not calling it is a joke. The defense should be allowed to push back if the offense is pushing. They don't allow that, so it's an unfair play, and it's aesthetically one of the ugliest plays ever. It'll be gone next year.
Quick addendum question off of that question, just because it came to my head. Adam Schefter talked about how the league sent the video of the tush push around, and they're like, hey, the refs are going to enforce us a little bit more. Over under 1.5 flags that they throw in that Eagles-Rams game today on the Philadelphia Eagles for false starts on the tush push.
It'll be under because the Eagles are now know that everyone's looking for it, so they'll be careful.
They'll have to be cautious.
Yeah,
I think they will.
Yep.
How can it be unfair if every team can do it and only one's good at it?
No.
Every team's allowed to do it.
Yeah.
Only one team is really successful with it. So how's that unfair?
You didn't hear what I said.
It's unfair to the defense.
It's unfair to the defense.
But other defenses stop it, I guess,
is
the point.
So if a defense...
What defense stops that?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have done it multiple times. That's because they have a massive guy named Vita Vea in the middle of the defense.
And also, other teams aren't as good at running it. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, I think that with the Eagles up front... And even with Jalen Hurts, I mean, that guy is a unit. You know, like he gets
squats
down there,
like 500 pounds.
You can't stop him. So I feel like that's an advantage they have. It sort of reminds me of like Kareem in college. You know, they banned him from dunking because no one could stop it. No one else could dunk in the league. And it's like that sort of feels like what's happening here.
Well, and my argument last year was Jaden Daniels on fourth down was as successful as the tush push. So what are you going to ban Jaden Daniels from going for it on fourth down?
Whoa. If you and I
pissing Ted off,
lined
he's about to
up,
storm out.
Question,
the whole point of the top 10.
Shime lined up in front of me, and then Christian, you got to push Shime into me, and nobody could push behind me.
To be fair, you'd still probably be that.
Talking about?
You would probably run me over with Shime pushing.
What are you talking about? I'd run you over. It'd be like running over a hydraulic press. Like, how could I possibly do that?
I'm telling you, it's not fair.
So,
guys.
Okay, so my question for you, Ted, is Wiggy makes this point a lot. He thinks that the easy way to fix this is to allow defensive players to push the linebacker to push defensive
then
line.
Then I want to see the two push. Allow the defense to push. push. Problem solved. You don't have to. It doesn't have to go anywhere.
Fair enough.
All right, Teddy. That's it for the top 10 list for me. Unless you got any more. Good job, Ted. All right. Now get on out of here. We know you got work to do. Go to get that face on TV. And Shyman and I'll take it from here. We'll get your picks. We'll chase some steam. All that's coming up here as we get real degenerate in the final segment of football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday. All right, we got one segment left here. It is Football Sunday, WEEI. It's Arcand, it's Shime. Everybody else bounced, so it's just us here. And thank goodness, because this is the time of the show when we get real degenerate. We start talking about picks that we like, action that we see all around the NFL. We'll get to that in just a minute. But before we do, a couple of things I wanted to touch on real quick. On the sideline today is Jason Tatum and Deuce, as well as both Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer on the sideline today as well.
Interesting. Those guys out injured at the game anyways?
They're at the game.
Are they going to go from Gillette to I guess the Red Sox are down in Tampa.
They're in Tampa, so now they're all done. They're probably rehabbing. They might be rehabbing over Spalding. I don't know what they're doing, but way.
They probably got a nice crew of ladies with them.
Probably. They'll be there. Jay-Z is also at Gillette today.
Really?
I'm not sure why. Why would Jay-Z be here?
Are they going to announce the Super Bowl halftime show? I know he is a large part of that. But why would they do that in the 1 o'clock window, I guess, would be my question.
Thomas just said in my ear, maybe the Edelman halftime thing, but what does Edelman have to do with Jay-Z?
Unless Jay-Z's going to do his walkout music.
Right, but that's Tom Brady's walkout music, isn't it?
That's true. Fair point. Yeah.
Tom Brady night. Public service announcement, which was great, and then I thought we were going to get another song or two. Nope, that was it. He's like, "You pay me for one song, I'm out of here." And then you saw the helicopter.
It's a lot
fly
of money.
Away.
It's a lot of money for Jay-Z.
Yeah, it certainly is. Anyway, he's around. I don't know if that means he's going to be performing or not, but he is here. I can't imagine Jay-Z's like in Foxborough for some other reason. But
also,
you never know.
Do you find it weird Jason Tatum's wearing a red jacket today? Like he's also a Patriots Hall of Famer.
I didn't see the jacket. I didn't.
Yeah,
I'm not aware of that.
He's wearing like a red jacket.
By the way, they're in the throwback reds. You're a fan of those?
Yeah. Yes, I'm wearing mine today, actually. In fact, my Drake May throwback red.
I've always been a little split on that because while I love the color and I think it's the best color scheme the Patriots have ever had, including the all whites, by the way, which they never wear. The all whites are great.
Yep.
But it just reminds me of such a bad time to be a fan of the team. Yeah. You know, like that's the problem.
I think that's fair. But at the same time, it's the only time we ever get the actual Pat Patriot on the helmet, which I think is universally loved compared to the Flying Elvis.
True. And between this and I thought they had a real opportunity with the Parcells thing to bring back the Blues. You know, the Blood Soul Blues.
So
I thought
awesome.
For sure, like, if you're going to do it, this would be the time
especially
to do
with the rivalry.
When you're honoring Parcells.
So that's one of the things that bugged me about, like, the rivalry uniforms, like the new Nor'easter uniform or whatever that they have this season. Why not bring back the classics? If it's a rivalry, you should go back in history and bring back stuff that actually matters in the rivalries, right?
Yeah, would think
so. Like, not make new stuff. That would be the whole point, I would think, but I guess not. I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot.
I was in the pro shop a couple weeks ago, brag, and I'll say they didn't have the Nor'easter jerseys yet. They just had like a mannequin, like this big freaking mannequin with an oversized jersey on, and it looked cool as hell. Like, it did look cool on the mannequin.
Yeah, I gotta say.
So I think when they come out and play with it, it'll look cooler than it does just when they're walking around.
Seeing those jerseys in person, I like a lot more than the concept art. The pictures and stuff, seeing them actually on human beings, I do like them more than I originally did.
Also, Chris Mason had this from about 45 minutes ago, an encouraging warm-up for Mr. Andy Borregales. Hit a 57 on the closed end and then 58 on the lighthouse side. Look steady on both of them. We'll see if that translates.
Flex on, Mandy.
We haven't really talked about Borregales at all, but it's funny to me how when you hear about like rookie quarterbacks or rookie anything, rookie left tackles, whatever it is, you got to be patient, right? You got to be patient.
Not with kickers.
It's their with kickers. He missed those first two extra points, and everyone's like, kick him off the team right now. Get him out of here. Put him on a plane. Like, get this guy the hell out of Foxborough. And then he comes through and hits that long kick at the end.
Well, it's because you look at the Atlanta Falcons, Younghoe Koo misses a bunch of kicks. They bring in Parker Romo, and he goes 5 for 5.
Sure,
like,
does.
That's the reason why people get so mad at kickers. And it's just also Vrabel. Like, I love Vrabel, but the lying to us about, yeah, we had all the confidence in the world to send him out there for that field goal. No, you didn't. You were going to go for it on fourth down, but then got a penalty that pushed you back, which is the only reason you actually kicked the field goal.
All right, very good. All right, that is all of our jersey talk and kicker talk that we're going to do
today. That's enough for today.
In the spirit of the final segment, yes.
I have a kicker note in one of these games.
Very good. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to it right now. It is time to get real degenerate here, chase some steam, and find some juice with this week's Gambling Minute. I guess it's more than a minute. It's going to be like gambling 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's fine.
Thomas is here, and he is going to get us up to speed on these games and these lines, and then we'll give you our picks.
So first up, we have the Green Bay Packers at the Cleveland Browns. Packers are 8.5-point favorites in this one.
Okay. I think that is a huge, huge line for a road team. I mean, I know Cleveland stinks, and I know that Green Bay has gotten off to this great start.
Juggernaut.
And I really like Green Bay a lot. I think they're a really good team, but I can't in good conscience lay 8.5 on the road, so I'm going to take Cleveland here.
Yeah,
I know, that's a controversial take.
You and I have issues when we agree on things, but I'm with you. I will not be betting this game. I want to make that very clear. I have zero interest in betting on this game, but if you make me pick a side, I'll take the Browns and the points at +8.5. Just too many points.
What bet I do like in this game is under 42 or 41.5, whatever it is. I like the under on this one.
Yeah, I think the defenses are both good. They're going to get after the quarterback. I don't hate that. Also, Josh Jacobs to score a touchdown feels automatic at this point, so just toss that into a parlay, why don't you?
Next up, we have the LA Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are 3.5-point favorites, over under at 45.5.
Yeah, I got a really strong take on this, Arcand. I don't know where you're at. I love the Rams in this game. +3.5, I get the hook here. I think the Rams have been the better football team. They've shown it to you. And this Eagles offense feels inept.
They're not themselves.
The Rams were the only team last year in the playoffs to actually push the Eagles to actually try and win a football game. I like the Rams getting 3.5 this week on the road.
I also like the under in this game, but I kind of agree with you here. I'm a little worried about this Eagles offense. It doesn't seem like they're really getting the contributions from their wide receivers that they should be getting. That is a good team there, and they should be able to move the ball through the air. They haven't been so far. And this is another one where Philadelphia is getting 63% of the bets and only 47% of the money, with the Rams getting 53% of it.
Yeah.
So I just, in the spirit of chasing the steam here, I think I'm with you with the Rams.
All right, next up we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Carolina Panthers. Falcons are 5.5-point favorites, over under at 44.5.
Okay, here's another one. It's a division game, and I think with division games, the tendency is always to go closer, and I think that may be where I'm at, but it does not look like the betting market agrees with me, because Carolina getting 60% of the bets and only 17% of the money. That is a stark, stark divide right there.
Yeah, I will lay the points with the Falcons here. The Falcons, I think, are a good football team. I think they probably should have beaten the Buccaneers in week one, and then they dominated the line of scrimmage and dominated the Minnesota Vikings. They should have scored more points. I think that was the big issue with their offense, but overall, that defense was awesome against the Minnesota Vikings, and the Carolina Panthers straight up stink. I will lay the points with the Falcons.
Carolina does stink, but 5.5 on the road in the division game is too much for me. I'll go with Carolina.
Another divisional matchup here, guys. We have the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. Danny Dimes and the Colts, the hottest QB in the league, are 6-point favorites with the over-under at 42.5.
He's not Danny Dimes anymore. Tom, get it right. It's Indiana Jones.
I apologize.
I have to, in good conscience, I think this is, I will probably stay away from this. But if you're making me pick a side, I can't bet against Indiana Jones at this point. That team has been awesome. They kicked the crap out of the Denver Broncos, it felt like, for a lot of that game, and yet the Broncos somehow only lost because of a leverage penalty. I think a lot of things are going the Colts' way right now. Tennessee's offensive line, I think Zeitler banged up, and that Indianapolis Colts, as Arcand pointed out to me in week one, they can get after the passer. I'll take the Colts and lay the 6 points.
Yeah, Colts have a nice secondary. I really like some of the guys playing in that secondary. They can get after the quarterback, and Cam Ward has had some good moments so far this year with Tennessee. I don't love that coach, and I don't love the rest of that offense.
Is an idiot.
He's really dumb.
Fun fact for you, 3-17 as a head coach against the spread is Brian Callahan.
Is that right?
That is correct. I don't know how that's physically possible. It seems very, very difficult to do as a head coach.
What number did you have, Tom? 4.5?
It is
six.
Six and a half.
No, just six.
Okay.
No half. Still a lot.
I'll take Tennessee.
Okay.
It's a lot of points. This is too many points on the road.
All right, fair enough.
Next up, we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Washington Commanders. Commanders are only 2.5-point favorites on over under at 43.5, but Marcus Mariota is the quarterback today for the Commanders.
I think that's the big thing is Mariota. This, to me, I think this is a week in the NFL where you can take advantage of a lot of the over-under totals. To me, this is an overplay. I like Geno to have a big bounce back. I think the Chargers are just really good. I think you're going to see more of what you saw in week one from Geno Smith this week against a bad Commanders defense. I think Mariota will come in and be competent for the Commanders. So my play here is not to pick a side. I will take the total over 43.5 in Raiders Commanders.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. That is not what the betting markets are saying. Only 18% of the money is on the over there. So, Shime, you could be onto something with that. And as far as the rest of it goes, yeah, that Mariota news and Jaden Daniels being out definitely flipped things over a little bit as Washington was going to be favored by much more against the Vegas team coming to Washington. Right now, they are getting 63% of the bets, but only 56% of the money. A lot of that is swayed back to Las Vegas, and I think that's where I am. I think I'm at Vegas plus three or plus whatever number you like there. I think they even have a chance to win this game. So give me Geno and the Raiders.
Battle of the backups now. We have the Cincinnati Bengals at the Minnesota Vikings.
There's a bunch of battle of the backups today.
Yeah, Vikings, a lot of quarterback injuries, man.
Vikings are minus three, over under 41.5 with Jake Browning and Carson Wentz going at it. Jake Browning's the man.
Yeah, to be quick, Jake Browning is the poor man's Jameis Winston. Play all of your Bengals skill players. I like the over in this one as well. Over 41.5. I'm not really going to pick a side.
Okay. As far as the betting markets are, 63% of the bets on Cincinnati, only 58% of the money. So there's a little bit of a difference there. I'm not a big Carson Wentz believer. I think Jake Browning in that offense, it's going to be interesting to see whose system is really better because that's what this is about.
100%.
Two great offensive systems and two backup quarterbacks. I lean towards Cincinnati as well. I think Wentz is all cooked up.
Another divisional matchup, Texans at the Jaguars. Texans are 1.5-point dogs in this one, over under at 42.5.
Yeah, the best unit on the field will be the Houston Texans defense today. I will take the Texans with the 1.5, but the better play here, I think, is the under. I think there is not going to be a lot of points in this divisional matchup.
Yeah, and defensively, Houston's still pretty good. Their offense is completely falling apart. Jacksonville, I don't know what to make of right now. And the money is 78% on Houston with only 50% of the bets. So that tells you that a lot of people are expecting Houston to be able to at least come within a point of Jacksonville. I think they could win this one. And I like Jacksonville, but a division game here, Houston on the road, I feel like it's more of a must-win game for them. So I like the Texans.
New York Jets are at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jets are also playing a backup QB. I don't know who it is. Who cares about the Jets?
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So my bet in this game is weird. I don't like the spread. I will take the Jets to win at halftime, but the Buccaneers to win the game. I think that's like 5-1, 5.5-1. That's my play on this game.
Okay. I like Tampa to lead wire to wire here. I think the line is one I could even think about teasing up a little bit. I just think the Jets are going to have a hard time. They had a hard time last week, and I think that Tampa Bay is going to be ready for them down there in Florida. So I'd go with Tampa, and I might even jack it up a couple points.
Saints are at the Seahawks. Saints are 7.5-point underdogs, over under 41.5.
Yeah, talk about a teaser leg. I have no interest in betting on this game unless it's the Seahawks money line. This is ugly, gross. I want nothing to do with it. But the Seahawks will probably win the game.
Yeah, I'd say they probably will. It's not a very juicy money line. It's like minus 400, so you wouldn't be making a lot of money there, but it'd be a nice, safe bet. The 7 points, I don't think is prohibitive for me. Watching Darnold last week against Pittsburgh and seeing them move the ball there, I think New Orleans is just a mess of a team. So I would lean towards Seattle in this one as well.
Broncos at Chargers with the best QB in the league. Chargers are 2.5-point favorites, over under 45.5.
It's a nice thing to say about Bo Nix, you know?
No, it's Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, Madison Beer, best guy in the league.
Actually, by like every statistical measure, Bo Nix has been the worst quarterback in football this year. Give me the L.A. Chargers. I'll lay 2.5. I'll lay 10.5. I don't care. The Chargers win this football game.
Very good. All right, we got time for one more. Let's go with the Patriots here. What do we got, Thomas?
Patriots, Steelers. Patriots are 1.5-point dogs.
Pats win it.
Yeah.
Pats win at money line. That's what I think.
I'm with you. I'll take the Pats. I also, the over is the player. Over 44.5. Give it to me all day long.
I love that over, too. I think it's going to be a lot of points this weekend. That's all the time we have here on Football Sunday. For Ted Johnson, Megan Ottolini, and Chris Scheim, I'm Arkan. Enjoy the football, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.